Well, let's go ahead and go through with some of our synopsis of the week.
Is it just the two of us?
Apparently.
I'm here.
Well, there, Steve. Steve.
Sorry about that.
Did you complete your task this week?
I did. I just got through with a one-on-one.
Aha. And Steve, with your one-on-one, and we also have, well, we have two-thirds of our team here that are complete this week. But, Steve, what are you learning this week? You did that one-on-one. Did it go the way it was intended?
Yeah, I did. Because he told me she wasn't interested to start with, and she took a DVD to watch, and she was interested.
How'd you meet this lady?
I've known her for a couple years. She lives in my ward, and she helped when we were doing a wedding breakfast for my daughter. She volunteered to help.
Uh-huh. And what was the approach?
I've got to show you something. When can I come see you?
Okay, so you really explained a lot.
Yep. Nothing.
And then how did you set up the meeting? What were some of the things you said? Did you give a time that it would last? Or
I told her that it would last about 30 to 40 minutes, because that's all I had between Greg's call and your call.
And did you do it over the phone then?
No, in person.
Aha. And what materials did you use?
I asked her whether she liked reading or whether she liked watching DVDs, and she said she likes to read. So I pulled out a flip chart, and she read it.
Okay, great. And so she wants more information, right?
Yep.
All right, I want you to give me a perspective. As you look at that and the fact that she's moving from one step to the next, do you feel confident with that step now?
Yeah.
Could you teach that step to your new people?
Sure.
So how would it go? Debbie wants you to teach that. No, not Debbie's not on here. Becky wants you to teach that to her.
Okay, Becky.
She's brand new. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, Becky, what kind of approach did you have when you were shown this? Long approach, short approach?
You know, I'm a straight to the point kind of girl.
Okay. So,
usually.
Okay.
So, I don't even remember how it was, but one of my Avon clients, I must have given her something, or maybe it was one of the emails I sent her that she saw the Nikken thing too, and she just started asking me questions about it, so I gave her stuff.
Cool. Okay. And so
It was really not. I think the whole thing is every time I approach people, at least within the last month, they just give me the runaround or the no, I'm not interested, and I tend to get discouraged because that's just who I am.
Okay. And what are you saying to them? Are you giving them a whole bunch of information to start with, or are you just saying that you need to get with them?
In fact, I told my downline that they needed to leave people wanting more. So I know that. I don't know. I'd get, you know, or...
You know, it...
I don't know. You're asking me the specifics. I don't know what I said to them that was wrong, but clearly I said something that was wrong.
No, maybe not. It might be just a timing issue. They'll tell you.
Yeah, I would agree. It's probably just more like a timing issue, because I'm, you know, people tell me kind of the same thing. They're interested, and I talk to a bunch of people, and then they're just like, oh, wow, that was really great. That was, I mean, a lot of, you know, I didn't know all this stuff, and, you know, that was interesting, and yeah, I'm interested. And then you call them back, they're either not home, or they're like, well, why don't you get back to me next week? And, you know, it's just like, I keep doing, like, the things that we got in the gold training, but it's just like, I don't know, people are like flaky.
Maybe it's, you know, I keep hearing people like Dave Johnson and even my mom saying that it's just because it's summertime and they have other things going on.
I don't know, but it seems like everybody has an excuse.
I know, everybody.
Summertime, it's busy, you know, talk to them about, hey, we're all busy, that's great, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of different things, but evidently I'm not doing anything right.
Well, I haven't been doing
really getting anything either.
You know, I haven't been getting anything either, but I think it's just a situation that I just, you go through the numbers, and we you just like Dennis
yep.
says, you know, Mark Yanell had to go through however many, and you know, and we just have to do our numbers. But that's,
yeah.
you create your own wind in this, and the hotter your fire, the more you're going to create. We had the opportunity of having Jeff Van Blair come here last week in Spokane doing the wellness preview. What did any of you hear from his stuff? Anybody hear a recap?
No, I didn't hear anything yet.
No, I didn't either.
You know,
I've been stuck in the weight room.
Can I say what I learned off the web?
Well, what's that?
I honestly feel that, between our call last week and the week before, and your experiences from the Humans Being More training, and then what he's teaching on the calls that are on the Rhythm of Nikan area of the of the Nikan site. Between those, that's all you need to know. The calls that we've had are just phenomenal.
Well, Steve, can you start 4? Because somebody just had a new episode of Star Trek.
Automatic gain is now enabled.
Thank
okay.
You, Brad.
Maybe somebody needs to Star 6.
There, that's good for you. There you go.
Okay.
Okay, so you said that now, based on some of the things that you've seen and heard recently, and those websites and Jeff Van Blerkum and our calls, something clicked and now you see simple or something along that order.
Simplicity, you know, simplicity sells.
Because it doesn't sell. The key highlights that made you believe that or click the switch for you?
I've always tried to make it too complicated. I mean, it took me 2 years to figure out how to give an owner's presentation. And about the time I figured out a one sheet outline that was graphic that I could follow up and give a little tiny presentation, they came out with the Pathfinder flip chart. And it made my 2 years of figuring and tinkering and trying to learn that obsolete, but yet at least I have that in my repertoire, and I know I can pull it out, and I can do it now, because somebody's going to say, "Well, I'm not going to read all that. I'll say, oh, here, show me, and I'll do a napkin presentation." And again, it's simple. It's one piece of paper, and it's fast and simple and easy.
Jeff made a really cool comment in the preview here in Spokane, and he said that he's on an all-out crusade to eliminate theory from the business. And basically said there's been people now who have gone from zero to 100 to $1 million a year in income. Did you all know that?
Oh, was that again?
Oh, yeah.
Been people in Nikan that have gone from zero to $1 million a year in income.
Yeah.
Any idea how many?
Five. I guess that's not right, huh?
I think there are 30 in North America.
Really?
And that's a lot.
Yeah.
So if 30 people have done it, is it likely that another one may on some occasion?
Probably.
If one does it or two does it, it might just be coincidence. But when you got 30 people pulling it, during some kind of formative times, not anywhere near what we're going to see in that's rolling now. If they've done it, then it can be done. So what Jeff is saying is that if you really choose to do what was done by the people who make that kind of money, it doesn't make logical sense that you probably will too. So his big point about eliminating theory is you either do what got people there or you try to make up something else, and which is probably more likely to succeed?
Doing what the other people did who got there.
It kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I think that's really profound. And now I want to ask you, do either I'm going to go with both Becky and Coach, and I want you to tell me if you think you can identify that this is, or can you say that this is simple?
Well,
yeah, I mean, I've felt it's been, I mean, ever since I've been on the P1 call, to me it's so simple now, and I don't make it, I mean, I've even made it less complicated, but...
Especially last week.
Okay, yeah. Go back there. What about last week?
I don't know. There was just something that you said. Hang on, I have to look in my notes. But there was something that you said about... Oh, even the monkey. I told the monkey story a few times, by the way, in the past week.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you know, I think I still, you know, I'm dealing with the monkey. But on the other hand, you know, I've been talking to, like, my teaching partner. Him and I are really close. We teach the same kids. He teaches them math and science. I teach them language arts, social studies. And he hasn't, I mean, I've talked to him for quite some time. In fact, I was living with him when all my Deakin stuff was delivered. And, of course, he had questions, didn't want to hear anything. It's been a year, but now his kidneys, last year they were at 90%, and now they're at 75%. So now they're willing to listen. And, you know, I've been talking to so many people for a long time. I guess some of it, too, is my roommate. You know, like the other day, he's like, dude, you need to make more money. You need to start working your business. I'm like, I've been trying, but everyone I talk to, you go around behind and tell them that I'm, you know, crazy, and that you make fun of everything that I do. That's kind of the problem I've been running into with my roommate. Because he's so pessimistic, and he's like 26 or 27, and, he's a typical guy, you know. He chews and he drinks about four or five beers each night and sits around and eats pizza, and he's like, that stuff is stupid, you know. And then so with all the people that I talk to, he goes behind and like, oh, Brad, he's crazy. He only drinks, you know, rock water, and, you know, so it's just kind of difficult with anyone hearing, you know, fellow.
It sounds like you got a good one there.
Yeah, so I tell him, I said, thanks a lot. I said, I've been trying, but I said, you go, I do not. I'm like, yes, everyone I talk to, you tell them the exact opposite of what I'm trying to tell them to get healthy. Anyway, so it's kind of frustrating right now.
At least this would be...
Anytime he has an owie or anything, he wants me to put the CM cream on. He wants to use the body energizer. He drinks the water and everything, you know, but he likes to make fun of it.
This would be a less costly divorce than some of the others, though.
Yeah, exactly. So.
That's great, Brad. That's worth the story tonight. Becky, did you come up with, was it the monkeys that really made the difference for you?
Well, the monkeys just stuck out, but the truth is, I don't know if it was one particular thing. I'm looking at my notes from last week, and with the exception of there's only so much you can give at any one presentation, I don't know that there was anything, one real thing, except for the whole just keep it simple and just discipline yourself to keep it simple so that they want more from you.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to vomit Meekin.
Well, you're not alone, and that's exactly what this gathering is about, this class, is saying now you're going to observe some of the things that by natural inclination and by teaching you've learned to do over the course of your life, your people are going to be doing the same kinds of things. So now that you've recognized them, are there some strategies we can use to help them avoid some of the pitfalls that are just kind of naturally there? And so we talked about that last week. We talked about how can we take the information at hand and put it out there with the concept of simplicity that just says, this is just it. This is how it works, man. It's the simplest thing in the world, and either they get it or they don't. So I think that really now you're at the point, number one, I think everybody's in great shape right now, but we want to start at that point of urgency that makes people come to a presentation. So let's review real quickly what Steve did to make that lady come today. What do you think in his presentation caused her to come?
Well, first of all, he gave her a choice, right?
Right. I didn't. Yeah, I'm learning that it's all about them. It's not about us. They could care less about us.
Yeah, I see.
I don't know that I've learned that yet.
You know, it was hilarious. I said, you know, I decided that I want to do a career change. She just started to lasso. Why in hell would you do that? It was pretty funny. I said, because I don't like people screaming and yelling at me all the time. You know, I love the money I make. Cause I make good money for what I do. But man, I hate getting screamed at. I love getting hugs. That's way more fun.
Yeah.
And I said that. I said, you know, hey, I love getting hugs. That's way more fun. So, she's pretty funny.
So basically, you just made it sound like it was all sorts of fun and
yeah, you know,
and
you know what they've been telling us, you know, make it fun.
Shut up and listen to her and let her decide things and
yeah,
made it all about her. And
yeah,
it worked.
Yeah, so you know, I don't know whether it'll go anywhere, but at least it was good practice, if nothing else. And I think it'll go someplace. You know, if she's willing to, you know, she doesn't really know my wife and I. You know, she doesn't know me for sure. She doesn't know my wife a whole lot because my wife, for the first 2 years, three years that we were here at our, you know, in our new house, we were taking care of her parents that were, you know, in their golden, crusty years, you know, and of dementia and Alzheimer's. It was really exciting, you know. So she wasn't around to church much, and then. She got her car accident, so she hasn't been there probably half to three quarters of the time since then. And, you know, here's this woman that volunteers to come help at a wedding for people she doesn't know. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, and she, she's I don't know how long ago, got an email from Herb Schoenfeld that says, hey, who's your prime market? Women that are 35 to 55 years old, that are single moms. Hmm. Does she fit? Yeah, she fits. Let's talk to her.
Well, I think you guys are really there now, but we still have to say, what wasn't the magic of this interview or this when you invited her that made her come to something in the middle of the summer, where other people may not be?
You know, I have no clue. You know, just timing was right for her. She had a half hour of time, and she was willing to give it.
Did you go to her place?
Yeah, I went to her place, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's what I've been trying to do, too, is go to them so it's more convenient. But
yeah.
Okay.
You know,
that's
Jeff,
a good point.
Yeah, Jeff teaches.
So the truth is that lady who buys Avon from me that talked to me about Nikan, I was at her house.
Well, did she do the presentation while you were there?
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying I went to her. It was for something completely different when it started, but
I went
to her.
Well,
it can be easier to go to other people's houses if you don't have their interest as high as it ought to be. So our point here is, how do you make somebody have the interest. If you could offer them a job that paid 50% to 100% more than what they're currently making, do you suspect that any of those people might take some time off the job they're currently working at to make it to your interview, even if it came in the time when they were supposed to be doing something else?
Yeah.
It would be.
Sure they would.
We have to make it that interesting to them. So here's a, I want you to dissect this. One of our people asked what Jeff might say to a brand new person over the phone. And it was really interesting because he went through and he began to start to formulate his comment, and he'd pause for a second and then throw out a couple more words, and then he'd pause for a second. It's as if he was making it up on the spot. But if you went back and checked out his CD from 10 years ago, he said exactly the same words. Now, we're going to go back to a concept we've been discussing over the weeks here, and that is the, remember when we talked about the fact that people think business is a negative word?
Right.
And they think sales is a negative word? And we want to portray vision as the other possibility. And we talked about how Terry Latham used vision to get people to step forward and really want to take a look at it. Well, all of the people who have made it big in this business do the same thing. That's going to be one universal that you see in every one of them. And this is one thing that I talked to Jeff on the way to the airport, was he said there are a number of people who've made it big in this game, and they all do the same few things. There are some unique things, but why emulate the unique things when they all do the same thing and got successful? Do the same things that they do that are similar. And the invite that Jeff used over the phone was, he said, "Hey Steve, I've run across a new company that I think you're going to want to hear about. It's the next Sony or Toyota that's coming to North America, and the information I think is going to be incredibly useful to you. Can you scrape together 30 minutes for us to sit down and talk about it over coffee?" In that presentation, what does he do different than most of our distributors do?
He just uses a flip chart, doesn't he?
No, in that, just that invite, what's he do differently? What was said during that invite that was different than others?
He led with the vision. I mean, you know, it's like it's huge, it's big, it's like Sony, it's going to be the next Microsoft, it's, you know, whatever.
When you call up somebody and say, you know, I was noticing in church you had this oozing spot on the back of your leg and it was sort of making a nasty spot in your pants, and I know that you've got, must be, have this festering wound, and I think I might have something for that. You see how somebody gets excited to come to your event? Or they've got this horrible limp and they've been at the doctor for the last 3 weeks, and you come in and say, I got something that will fix that. Well, the doctor can't even fix it. Why would they believe you? Jeff made some really very, very important comments. One of them was that you've got to lead with this vision. If you don't lead with vision, you are going to lead people into believing they're going to be selling or buying, or they're going to be doing this thing called business that they don't fancy themselves as being business people, and they're scared of it. So how do we craft vision? What is it, in a few words, that could change that? We could call up somebody and say, here's an example. I'd say, Steve, my wife and I have just gotten into an exciting new opportunity. And he goes, who cares? Don't ever talk to me. Go away. It's Amway. Shoot the cat. I'm done. But if I say, Steve, I ran across a company, and I really think that based on your knowledge and experience, you're going to want to know about this. What's the difference?
Everything.
You gave him a compliment.
Okay, gave him a compliment. What else was different?
You believe in him. I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to throw those out again, because this
okay.
is really a critical point. First we say, hey, Steve, my wife and I just got involved in a brand new opportunity, and we'd like you to come over and see it. Or, hey, Steve, I've run across a new company, and based on your experience and your life, the strengths that you bring to the table, I think you're going to want to see it.
Well, it's like you just empowered him.
What's
you know
wrong
what I mean?
With... Yeah. Yeah, I feel it. I'm getting more strong all the time here. But what... what if... what about the first one? Is there anything wrong with the first one?
Yeah, the first one sounds like a sales pitch.
So, Brad, are you still with us?
Yeah.
What part of it sounds like a sales pitch?
When you say the opportunity one?
Yeah. My wife and I just got involved in a great opportunity, and we'd like to have you take a look at it.
Yeah. See, the whole opportunity thing, like, you know, a lot of people might not be thinking, look, I don't need an opportunity right now. I need something else to take up my time. I'm already busy enough.
So if I'm implying opportunity in one, am I implying opportunity in the other?
You know, you're really not. An opportunity. You're saying something that you just think, hey, you might be interested in it. You might not be.
But I'm really piquing his interest much more. And I am the other. Well, let's start with one thing. First thing I do is if I say my wife and I, then that smacks of every network marketing company ever done, and you can smell it right from the beginning. And then so if my wife and I, then also we already stated that Steve doesn't care about my wife and I. Who does Steve care about?
Him.
So if I say, Steve, I ran across something you're going to want to hear about.
Then it's all focused on him. Oh, see that? You just focused on him again.
And it was so weird because it's that small a difference will make all the difference on whether somebody shows up or not.
So we can't focus on us. We have to focus on them.
You got it, because they don't care about your monkeys, right?
Right, and they don't care what the company's done for us. They only care what it could do for them.
Yeah, they don't care about whether you drive a nice car. They don't really care whether you don't have any debt. What you can, however, you can paint the picture to screw them up, because that's a sensitive one. I have a guy named Ron, and Ron's one of my new guys, and he's a fireball. My goodness, does he bring a lot of people to the table. But he brings them, and has been bringing them, with the wrong entry. And as a result of bringing them with the wrong entry, they don't ever pan out, because he'll just meet somebody and he'll say, I got this, oh man, you got this problem with your back, I got somebody you need to talk to, call this guy. And then he's done with it, and he expects me to go in and fix their back and sign them up and build them into business. He doesn't get it yet. But on the other hand, he came from another company that was a networking company, and he just banged it because he went in and he really talked about people's life and future and all that. The other day, I was telling him a story about I had an opportunity to go flip fishing, and fishing was something that I was very passionate about before the kids came, and then I couldn't really find some time to go do it much. But I had planned to go on a 21-day fly fishing trip to Siberia when it first opened, because it cost the same amount to go to Siberia as it did to go to Alaska for 7 days. You could go to Siberia for 21, and in Siberia you were fishing water that no one had ever seen before, that had six varieties of trout and three species of salmon that we don't even know about on this continent. And one of those freshwater trout grows to be 220 pounds, but the reason I couldn't go was because every time I tried to contact one of the brothers-in-law that was going to go with me, there was no way anybody else could take 21 days off of work. So what he said...
I don't teach in the summer. I can't.
All right, let's do it, Brad. What he said was, he mentioned this to a guy that never heard another word about when he was talking about his wife's lupus and how she got better and he had a bad back, and he's a contractor, and the guy he was talking to is a contractor, and he has 38 head of cattle, and he's doing everything he can to make a little extra money doing this and doing that. And every minute of every day is spoken for. But when he told him a story about not being able to find somebody that could take 21 days off to go fishing, so my big passion was to create other people who could actually go fishing when I wanted to, this guy went nuts. He wanted to know everything about everything. Does that create a vision?
Yep.
What category are we working on when we talk in those terms?
What category?
Yep. When we talk about this lifestyle stuff, what are we leading with? We're leading with lifestyle, right?
Yeah, we're leading with a vision.
We're not leading with money. We're not leading with sales. We're not leading with medicine. We're not leading with feeling better. We're leading with a dream of a life that's so well taken care of that you get to choose who you become and how you'll spend your precious time. Does anybody remember how what actually clicked for Terry Latham when Rick Murphy was presenting to him?
Yeah, he wanted a house and a car paid for.
Was it maybe a little deeper than that?
I thought it was something about spending time with his family, his kids.
Exactly. It was. He didn't. You know, he made money. Terry was a six-figure income earner. But when Rick was saying nonchalantly, well, I'll tell you, at the time you got to go to Six Flags Over Texas or whatever. I've got a son, he said, I got a son that's like 8 or 9, and we just spent the whole day, because you go when everybody else is in school or you go when everybody else is at work. There's no lines, you just cruise up to the front. We had the best time, and then when it was all over, we avoided traffic because we left a little bit early, and then we went over to the beach and we hung out over there because nobody was there yet. And then when it gets real crazy and people start showing up, then we can go home and do the stuff that people do at home. And Terry's just going, man, that's what I want right there. So when Terry sits down and talks to people and he's asking him questions, remember last week we talked about, he said, man, I don't know about you, but is what you're doing right now leading you to the life you really, really want? And is it going to get you there in 2 to 5 years? Or are there some pieces that are missing? Because if there are pieces that are missing, I think it might be worth it to have you hear me out. Maybe for you, it may not be for you, but it's astounding, and it's huge, and it's coming to North America. So can we get together?
Wow.
That little bit of difference in the invite makes all the difference in the world on what they hear when they go through the flip chart and what they're looking for when they go through the flip chart. Now, I'll even give a little bit more, and that's where I say, when we sit down, I'm going to pull out this flip chart and I'm going to say, now, this is going to seem a little bit silly, actually, because the power of what we do is immense. And we could make presentations that would be absolutely stunning, but here's the point. Becky, you and I are going to start a business. And as you watch this little presentation that I go through, I want you to imagine, could we teach this to tens and hundreds and thousands of people and have them teaching it to others? Because if we can do that, you and I are free. So we're going to just flip through the pages of the thing. We'll give you an idea of the scope of what it is. But in the back of your mind, imagine what we could do if we teamed up, took this to the world. Then we go through what we talked about before, where we let them read back some things, tell us what they want. By the end of the presentation, say, do you want more information? Because there's a very set program of presentation through this. By the time you get through that, you should be fully informed. 95% of your questions will be answered through the process. The last stage will be a time when we sit down and really clearly answer your questions and set on a path for what you truly want or what you truly need. Can you guys sense why that would make it more compelling for somebody to come to the meeting?
Yeah.
So what did I just do that you could teach to somebody else or you could put into practice?
I would say, like, share the vision, make it simple, and that's the first part. I think once they get there, the people are like, oh, yeah.
Well, share the vision. What vision were we sharing?
Their vision.
Something they don't have.
What were you thinking, Becky?
No, it's just funny because everybody's vision is different, so
yeah.
My vision's not going to be the same as Brad's or Steve's or yours.
Okay, good point. Good point.
So that's why you ask them a few questions?
That's why it has to be about them, because you have to find out what their vision is, what their dream is. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, now what if...
you know what I mean, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you have
See,
to absolutely have
is
to know...
This call is at 7:30 at night, and so, you know, Mondays are like my busiest days, and so that means that I'm tired by the time I'm on this call. So sometimes things just come out of my mouth that don't even make sense to me. Sorry.
That's good.
It just comes out.
Because the vision... is going to be different for everybody. It's true. So here's an interesting thing about vision. There are primary visionaries and there are secondary visionaries. Do you remember reading that in your Dare to Dream book?
Sounds familiar.
And a primary visionary is somebody like Bill Gates who steps back and is given the ability to see the world as it could be, and to absolutely see it so clearly that he goes out and makes it happen. Entrepreneurs that are of lesser, yet it's unlikely that any of us on this call will make $200 billion in the next 25 years like he did.
I will.
Except for Becky, of course.
Thank you.
So $200 billion, that's a big number. But there are others who could come in and make tens of millions and hundreds of millions that are secondary visionaries. And here's how it works. Mr. Masuda was a primary visionary. He was a guy who could see a change in the world. He could see a much bigger, more global picture. And he made his vision was to change the world, change the health of the world one person at a time, using common sense and balance through five pillars of health. In the United States, there's literally 300 millionaires or more that have been created as a result of his vision. And yet we know it's only a minuscule amount of what is potentially there. And what's interesting about that overarching primary vision is that people will be able to probably make tens of millions of dollars a month based on that overarching vision. In other words, they can make their own vision underneath it. It still fits under the umbrella of his, and that's a very interesting way to make a vision. Many people's vision is only to get debt-free for themselves. And they will eventually, if they act on that vision, become debt-free themselves. But how much difference does that make to the other people? It's too limiting to have other people build their whole lives underneath somebody's minuscule vision. So what we have to practice is getting a sense of what's the bigger vision. When I talk to Terry Latham, my sense is Terry Latham, not Rick Murphy, but Terry Latham, will be the first Nikken billionaire.
Who?
Terry Latham.
Why do you say that?
Because of the size of his vision. And what Terry does, in the way Terry sees Nikken, he was over there at that deal where you got Dennis and Muth Williams and you got the Rogers and you've got people that all of them have made, there was probably 10 people there that have made $1 million a year in Nikken. And they're aghast and agog and just standing back and going, that's unbelievable. How did we ever do that? And Terry goes, or he says, oh, well, why don't we take just a little different look at that? Less than 2 out of 1,000 people have ever heard of it in North America, and people made what you've made. What's going to happen later? If we can set this on track, he said, we are in the process of watching network marketing and direct sales be transformed right before our very eyes through Nikken. We're in the position of watching it literally lift off the launching pad. It's slow. It takes a lot of energy to get that first couple of inches, but it's gaining speed and momentum. And it's literally going to be in hundreds of countries in the next 10 years. And he said, we know that looking at the insurance industries, if Nikken does what it can do, according to the lady that owns $9 billion worth of insurance companies and hospitals south of the American border, and she told one of the people that was talking to her, Joe Higdon, on the Joe Higdon tape, that if Nikken does what they should do, they should change one-third of all the dollars spent on health care in America. And Joe Higdon said, that's $600 billion a year. And she said, yep. So what Terry said was, we've got the company thinking and trying to, they've got a long-term vision and they're letting a little bit out at a time. They're saying this may go $10 billion. We know fully that with the train wreck that's coming with the money and the healthcare system and all of that, we could literally do $600 billion a year, and I'm banking on it, and I'm building the team that'll get there.
See, Jerry, this is the problem, though, is that I don't think a lot of people really believe that there's a healthcare crisis.
They only will through you.
I know, but then, I mean, I guess that's given way too much information. If you start talking to them about, like, I don't know, I feel like that's given us too much information, or sometimes I feel like I talk to them in, like, passing about health, and I really don't bring them Nikken until I talk to them a little bit, maybe planting some seeds. But that's the thing, is a lot of people are like, oh, everything's great. You know, they have no problem. They don't have any problem taking prescription drug after prescription drug.
Okay, well, here's a good point, Brad. If you know, and you can continually feed your systems on how big this is going to be and how powerful network marketing is and how incredibly successful leverage can be if you teach the small unit from here to there, the more you know about the big time, the easier it is to teach the small time if you know to keep it in perspective. Let's take coaching, for example. The more you learn about high-level high school football coaching, if you're a really good coach and you don't try to go down and make your sixth and seventh graders into high-level football people, but you know that the basic skills that you teach them now, if taught properly, will serve them all the way through their football lives, and you maintain a very steady line, a very strong confidence, and you teach them those fundamental principles over and over until they're absolutely a machine doing them, you can see that 6 years from now you're going to have a winning program that's going to take on state and be a dynasty. See the difference?
Yes, I mean, I know, like in coaching, you have to, like, I can't talk, like, in coaching terms, I have to talk in athlete terms. I have to make it as simple as possible for them, because they don't have any clue what I'm talking about when I say get to the class or, you know, things like that. They don't know. I have to explain it to them. I know that it's simple.
Okay, so, no, you're on the right track here. So if you're saying, in your own mind, and you see the bigger picture, I need, in order for us to win the championship this year, I need to have faster linebackers than we had last year. You can go to the linebackers and begin to start to do things very specifically with them that they may not see the bigger picture that you see.
Okay.
But you give them the drills that are appropriate and the enthusiasm and the will to win and the desire to do it differently. Okay, you guys are going to do what everybody else does in practice, but because you're a cut above and we want you to be able to have even better skills, we're going to take this timeout to bring you over here and add these pieces to it. Now, they're going to fire up for that, right?
Yeah.
They may not see why that fits in the picture yet because they haven't run across the opponent that you're preparing them for. That's your job.
Right.
So if we bring that back down to Niken and we say, if you get the bigger picture and you understand what Terry Latham understands and you start somebody out, here's what you're not able to carry to the table that he is. He knows absolutely without any doubt, because he's studying the bigger picture, that the person he's sitting across the table from, like Danny Johnson says, he says, I know they don't have in their pocket or even in their sphere of influence or even in their understanding any mechanism that will get them where they want to go. I just know that. He says, I know if they've got millions of dollars. I know if they've got, they're making $200,000 a year and they're 35 years old. I know that if they tell me that their life is out of balance and they're not getting where they want to go, that the mechanisms they can find in this world will not exist except here. So he says, based on that knowledge, I want to find out if, in fact, they have areas of need, and I know without a shadow of doubt that this company and this vision and this method can get them to that point, that conviction.
Yeah.
And if you know that inside your, absolutely know that inside your guts, that if your people get in and follow the pattern and get all the way through it, you've at least done your part, and you've given them all the information they would ever need to be completely free within 5 years. Then it's just a matter of saying, wherever you are in your life, just trying to figure it out, try to help you to get to where you want to go, because I have the mechanism here that if you choose or if your timing is right, it will absolutely be able to do whatever you want it to do in the world. That conviction is conveyed in how they do their initial presentation. Right? Then you can say, if you get in, you listen to this, you read that, you go to this thing, you get this experience, you'll have enough information to find out if this is for you. Because if it's for you, and hundreds of other people have made millions of dollars doing it, all you have to know is your timing right, and is it for you, because it's been done by people in every walk of life. The only parameter is your timing right? Because we can teach you everything you need to know, and it doesn't take very long. So let's go find some people, and I'll show you. That's how simple it is. Well, you guys, I didn't want to confuse the issue. I think you guys were on a great track from last week, but this last little point is critically important. You have to make the tweak to make people so intrigued that they show up. Agreed?
Agreed.
Yeah. Totally.
And then once they show up, if you have led with vision of some sort, they're much more likely to show up, right?
Right.
And then when they show up, if you do short presentations and say, here's the nature of why we're doing a short presentation, because we're going to see thousands of these going on. We want to make them so that people without an education can talk to people without an education and transfer the vision and saying, you too can do this just like I'm doing it. That's standing above. That's making the visionary statement. Okay, last minute questions?
No.
Not really. That's nice.
Do you feel more or less confused than last week?
No, less. I guess it's just good just to call in because, you know, I just, you know, like kind of like Debbie right now, I'm kind of just in it, just kind of frustrated with all the people that I've talked to, and just like, you know, I feel like I'm trying to be simple, but obviously I'm not doing the right thing, so it's good to...
What you need to become is an absolute student of network marketing. The way Terry Latham got the way he did was he went out and got history books on network marketing. How did other companies get to $7 billion a year? What did they do? What did they not do? What are the generic readings, all the stuff that he's going through? And you're being introduced to that through the selected readings that he's having you go through at this point.
Right.
What he's done is to go on and read ahead. Now, I noticed this the other day for me, and I think it's really important, is that if I have to be careful what I pick up to read, because I noticed that I'm reading something that's very, very intriguing to me about how the American diet got the way it did and how we could change it very, very quickly, and how all these cover-ups are going on in keeping the information from the population that could save us from 90% of the cancer and heart attack and everything else that we're doing. So that's intriguing for me to read, but will it build the same dynasty that Terry Latham is going to build, because he's studying how to get groups of people to believe in themselves and work together to go out and make the biggest difference in the world?
What are you reading?
What am I reading?
Yeah, that one that you said.
Well, see, you're already on the same track as me. You got to read the books about building networks.
Yeah.
But it's called the China Study.
Oh.
The China Study?
I'm reading Kevin Trudeau's book.
But yeah, it has that. The China Study is the largest study ever done on nutrition in the history of the world.
Right. That's what you were saying last week, yeah.
And it really is very obvious, very, very, very obvious, that people who are being trained through the standard mechanisms that have been developed, medical schools and so forth, have got a habit going. They got a groove they're working in, and they are not about to change that groove. There's a lot of political reasons to it, but a lot of it's just, well, nobody taught me that way, so it must not exist.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to my masseuse last week, and she said that, talking about kickbacks from pharmaceutical companies. She has a vet in a friend that's a veterinarian in Spokane, and she said her secretary wanted a new computer, so they said she suggested that they get the kickback, use the kickbacks at the end of the year to buy the computer. They thought it'd be a few thousand dollars just for the veterinarian. It was $85,000.
That'll buy a nice computer, won't it?
Yeah.
So if we want to see, on the one hand, if we want to understand that, I think it's important.
Right.
But if we want to break it, that's what Terry Latham is saying.
Right.
We have the ability to take it on, and we have the strength to build the network, because none of us will ever have enough strength to make a big difference by ourselves. But what we do have the ability to do is to understand the building of networks, simple networks that will grow exponentially, because we have the belief and understanding of how to do that. And that's where all the bacon's at. That's where people make big money, is empowering people to learn how to be a part of the network Then they do things you couldn't even imagine in moving heaven and earth to make it all work. Well, we didn't even get to our controversial section in the book.
We'll
have to save that for the next time around and see how you all do.
Okay.
All right. Go out and prove that it's very easy to lead with vision. Once you lead with vision, show the presentation. Give the vision that other people can also lead with the vision and do the presentation. And come back next week and let's share how those successes went.
Okay.
Cool.
You're awesome, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Back at you. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.